Hey, yo, Apollo, what's going on with you in SmackDown? Maybe you should go over to Raw and lose to No Way Jose. SmackDown sucked. You think, with the stock going, you think, with the conference call, you think, with all the shit going on with WWE, hey, did you see all the websites talking about the financial numbers that came out yesterday? Did you see certain things that they didn't bring up? You know why? Because every single one of them cut, paste, cut, paste, cut, paste, cut, paste. Did you see any of these websites talking about the live event revenue? Anybody talk about international ticket prices going up 30%? 30%! 30! Because none of these websites bothered to do the research. Yours truly did. I'm going to talk about it briefly today. And a couple of rumors that are starting to float around. And believe me when I tell you, this might end up possibly being the biggest story of 2020. I kid you not. But SmackDown tonight, my God. You know, you think, okay, you know, we got to give the fans a little bit of a feel-good moment, huh? You know, so, hey, Goldberg, Saudi money, he's going to Saudi Arabia. He usually wins his matches in 15, 20 seconds. We're all sick and tired of Baron Corbin versus Roman Reigns. So now on the heels of the stock and all the stuff and the live event revenue going down and the interest in WWE going down and all the complaints and this and that, and Vince can't use the excuse of injuries anymore. And all right, well, we'll have Goldberg squash Corbin in 30 seconds. Everybody will be happy. Corbin gets jobbed out and blah, 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 blah. So WWE, because we're listening to you, shut up. We got Corbin versus Roman Reigns in a fucking cage. I'm cursing in a cage again. Dun, 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 dun. I feel like Groundhog Day. Are they on drugs? I mean, is Vince just laughing in the back? I don't know. Could it be? I don't know. This is madness. This is madness. Why? So the Saudi fans live could see Corbin and Roman Reigns one more time? And then the best part is Fiend is going after Goldberg. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. That is somewhat interesting. Here's the problem, though. There's been no buzz of Goldberg coming back for another semi-run, maybe leading into WrestleMania and then he exits again, because then you think a little one step ahead. You're like, okay, you know what? Maybe Goldberg wins the belt, and then Goldberg drops the title to Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. And then I'm like, I'm like, no, oh, that sucks. That sucks. You know what's going to happen. Goldberg, he doesn't have to get pinned. He doesn't have to get, you know, he just gets mandible claw, choked out, blah, 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 over. I would be shocked. I would be shocked if Goldberg wins that title. It just doesn't feel, you know, it's funny because the conference call that Vince McMahon did a couple of days ago, and I'll get in some highlights. I have some stuff written down. But the one thing I found interesting was the last excuse a year ago that a lot of wrestlers were injured and not in action. And this was over a year ago when he said that. Now he's saying that, well, you know, the injuries are no longer an issue, but, you know, we have to develop. Develop what? This isn't new people in the roster. I mean, you got wrestlers 4, 5, 6, 7 years out. Built what? Built what? I don't know, man. I tell you. And here's the best part. I'm going to hit that. I'm going to trigger some people because I just give opinions. Understand that it's not with malice and understand that I'm just throwing opinions out there to spark up conversation. There's a big difference between all of us having a conversation here and people on Twitter that are just tweet banging so they could feel important. But, you know, the one thing, WrestleJerkoff.com could report this. Wrestle Nimrod.com could report this. WrestlingHick.com could report this. I don't pay attention to those fools. Because again, shout out to Austin Kinkle. What's up, Kinkle? Hopefully you don't stinkle. Shout out to Howard Finkel, because we actually got to hear a little bit of retro Miz and Morrison tonight, which was, we'll get into that in a couple of minutes. But I got to tell you, man, all right, I'll just hit the trigger button. Here we go. When you look at financial outlets out there, Bloomberg News, Yahoo Finance, CNN even, and you see them talking about for the last couple of years, interest in the WWE is going down, down, down. Live events, revenue, down, down, down. You're raising ticket prices up, up, up to try to make up for it. I don't want to go too off track, but do you ever think that maybe a lot of this is because of forcing this women's revolution? I have no problem with women getting equal time in the WWE. The problem is, and I've said this many times before, there are forms of entertainment in this world that are dominated by men. There are forms of entertainment in this world that are dominated by women. Just because women are fans of wrestling doesn't mean that because they're fans of wrestling, they have to be fans of women wrestling. Just like if a man is a fan of wrestling, he doesn't have to only be a fan of men's wrestling. At the end of the day, this is an entertainment company. Just like a movie company, just like anything else. Amazon, 20th Century Fox, all TriStar Films. I hate to break the news to you, but sometimes they make films that are not politically correct. WWE is forgetting sometimes that they're an entertainment company. And the more that they insist on pleasing every group out there, before they insist on being politically correct and not trying to ruffle the feathers of any organization out there, because they insist on having everybody be a public service announcement. This person is real short. This person is an underdog. This person doesn't look like your typical superstar. This person is a woman. This person is Indian. This person is gay. This person is black. This person is, I don't know, hermaphrodite. This person is this. Well, sometimes you have to develop your product based on the most talented people out there, not because of their skin color, not because of their sexual orientation, not because of their gender. I mean, it's easy for me because I'm an Italian white guy. I get it. I understand that. But just picture this. Picture this. What is that, the Twilight Zone? Picture this. Imagine if the NBA, now let's be honest, the NBA is predominantly black, I guess you could say. I have no problem with that. My favorite basketball players of all time, probably 95% of them are black. I don't look at them as black. I look at them as my favorites, all right? It's the love of the Knicks. John Starks, Latrell Sprewell, which was later on, Patrick Ewing, Charles Oakley, Grandmama, Larry Johnson. I mean, I could go down the line and almost every single person, you know, Kobe, Michael Jordan, LeBron, you just see it. Now, imagine if these teams turn around and say, you know, we have to be more diverse. So you know what? We're going to put more white players on the team. Even though they're not as good, but we have to represent everybody. What happens when they only win 20 games because you got all these white guys? I don't know. I don't feel all that good because you want to be diverse. Nobody thinks WWE is race. I know, you know, look, yes, took them way too long to have black champions. But you look at the women's main event tonight. Nothing against Alexa Bliss or Carmella or Naomi or Dana Brooke. But that closes out the show today? You mean to tell me Fiend and Goldberg? You know, and it's not, you could almost see it because we got to have this balance. Women close out SmackDown this time because remember what, you know, Becky Lynch and others said, you know, this, let it direct. Let Let it progress naturally. Don't force the issue. The idea of having Dana Brooke and three other women in a fatal four-way to determine the number one contender to close out SmackDown, where you know that is not the bread and butter of your revenue or the... it's just, they're tone deaf. They're absolutely tone deaf. And I don't care if a woman closes out a show. I don't care if a man closes out a show. What I do care about is when I feel that something is being forced a certain way because they gotta fit criteria. They gotta fit this. They gotta fit that. Just imagine. I just heard, and I don't like bringing up politics on wrestling shows unless you really want this, but I heard yesterday that Elizabeth Warren, like four black women, quit her campaign, I think, in Nevada. And they said something, I don't know the whole story yet, but they said something like, you know, we feel like we were brought on simply because we're black, just to like give the perception that we're diverse, but they didn't listen to any of our views. All right. Imagine getting certain opportunities or forced on TV or put in certain situations simply because you're a woman, simply because you're this, simply because you're that, and not because the fans are trying to dictate what they want. Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte last year, even though it might have felt a little bit forced at times, they definitely earned that right to be in the position that they're in. But what's going on, man, I'm telling you, you know, WWE needs to remember that they are an entertainment company first and foremost. They need to answer to stockholders. They are a publicly traded company. And as much as they want to be diverse, as much as they want to have women close out pay-per-views and shows, as much as the men, at the end of the day, it's about this. And for the last 3 years, it's slowly going down, down, down. You know what and again, I said this at the beginning. You look at all of these wrestling websites that talked about the financials for WWE that came out this week. Did you see any of them bring up about the fact that WWE raised their international ticket prices 30%. Did you see anybody talk about that? No, because the first website that put it up, and I'm going to pull something up right now from there. The first website that pulled it up, they only cut and paste what was put on a different website. All right. Now I'm looking at some of the financial numbers right now. Okay. And they don't bother learning how to read graphs or anything like this, but I want to just share a couple of numbers with you. Okay. 2018, their media, this is mostly digital media, network, things like that. Their revenue in 2018 was $683 million. Okay. Impressive. No doubt. In 2019, that went up all the way to $743 million. So, hey, that's impressive. In a year, they gained $60 million more in media. So you think, oh, okay, so what's the problem? Last year, their live event revenue was $144 million. This year, 2019, I'm sorry, I keep thinking I'm in 2019 mode. In 2018, they generated $683 million. 2019, they generated $743. In live events, in 2018, they generated $144 million. In 2019, that went all the way down to $125 million. They canceled 30 or 40 live events because of that. Now, you're going to probably say to me right off the bat, well, Don Tony, if they canceled 30 or 40 live events, no wonder why the revenue is less. Keep in mind that they raised ticket prices substantially. 30% internationally. That's not a small amount of change. In fact, I have it over here. The average ticket price for an event overseas, I have to find it. I'm looking at this stuff over here. On Monday, I don't know how much I'm going to get into this on Monday because honestly, I have no idea if my co-host is going to be studying any of these numbers. And the last thing that I want to do is I want to say, hey, what do you think of the financials that came out? Oh, I didn't see it. All right, well, that whole conversation is dead. So I got to bring it up over here. They were showing average ticket prices for like $60, $70 a ticket. I mean, that's just insane. That's absolutely insane. So again, you look at the numbers getting, breaking it down. Consumer products, these are items that you buy, T-shirts, you see on TV all the time, buy the second shirt for a dime. Buy one, get one free. In 2018, their consumer products, their revenue was $102 million. 2019, that dropped down to $91 million. You look at their operating income, it's actually more than a year before. The problem is when you start adjusting everything. Now, remember when I gave you the lesson last week of OIBDA? You remember that? And here, and I'm going to move on. I promise you. Just give me about another 60 seconds and we'll move on. Remember last week, I gave everybody a lesson of what OIBDA is. If you don't know what that is, just watch the clip from last week and you'll learn it. That's when they try to eliminate certain deductions and just try to make things appear better than what they are. Okay, here's probably the best example I could put of what's going on with them right now. If you look at their adjusted OIBDA, in 2018, their OIBDA was $210 million for media, all right? In 2019, it went up to $224 million, which is impressive, very impressive. When you go to live events, their adjusted OIBDA in 2018 was $20.5 million. This is after all the expenses and everything else. You know what it was in 2019? $9.4 million. That cut in half. It's just when you look at it closer and you see, the bottom line is the WWE Network, I think, ended with like 1.4 million subscribers. But when you see live events down, canceling 30 to 40 events, ratings down, interest down, and then you think there's a little bit of urgency. All right, you know what? Let's, you know, shock the system. I know, you know, shock the system. They give us Corbin and Roman in a cage again. They put Carmella against Bayley, which you know is just buying time for the WrestleMania match, which will be probably Bayley and Sasha Banks. That's what we've been saying. I've been saying, I know, for at least 4 or 5 months now, and I still believe that that's the way that they'll go. The funny thing about it is, if you look at WWE's financial statement, I thought this was hilarious. They talk about revenue increasing, you know, and they give different reasons why, but then they also talk about how, well, you know, they didn't have that Super Australia event. You remember when they had it the year before? That's one event. That's one. They actually singled out that super crazy event that they had in Australia. I don't remember the name. Somebody remembers it. I mean, I just thought that was hilarious. Like, you're bringing up Super Showdown in Australia. That's what it is. Super Showdown. You're blaming a loss of $7 million in the fourth quarter of 2019 because you didn't have Super Showdown, which you had the year before. I mean, just picture that. It's just, okay, all right, here was the average ticket price, okay? Here, I got the numbers in front of me. Yeah, this will blow you away. North American ticket sales, that's the United States, went down $1.9 million in the last quarter of 2019. That is the last 3 months of 2019. And they blamed it because of staging 14 fewer events. And they also said that the average ticket price of $57 was pretty much unchanged from the prior quarter. So that just means in the summer of 2019, whatever the ticket prices were on average in the United States did not change towards the end of 2019. Now, international ticket sales increased to $7 million compared to $6.5 million a year before. And you say to yourself, okay, they actually went up $500,000. They increased their ticket prices 30%. The average ticket price to go see WWE overseas is $84.26. And they even, because they're forced to say this, they even mention, and this is quote for quote, word for word, it was partially offset due to the decline in average attendance and staging three fewer events. Their average attendance overseas now is 4,100. You get the impression that WWE draws much better overseas. In the United States, their average ticket, their average attendance is 5,800. Overseas, their average attendance is 4,100. And just, there's only so many times you could keep raising prices, raising prices, raising prices. And this is a major issue. And again, it blew me away that all of these outlets out there ignored these aspects that I thought was so important. I mean, it's just their revenue went down. If for live events and with revenues and ticket sales and everything else, their revenue went down big time, even with those increase in ticket prices. So, you know, I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. And, you know, understand something too. You know, all this stuff came out yesterday. There's so much, you know, their report is not just one page long. There are loads and loads of numbers and dissecting. Like I said, when you don't have wrestling websites out there that'll actually do the legwork and, you know, try to make, you know, sense of some of these things and point things out, I have to do it all on my own. Unless you just want me to sit here and talk about, hey, Daniel Bryan, what are they doing with him? Heath Slater, what the hell was that? You know, it's very easy to do a recap and call it a day. I try to crunch the numbers a little bit. And let me tell you something else. And, you know, I don't want to reveal anything, but, you know, I talked to some birdies within WWE, and their last name is not B. And I will tell you that Paul Heyman is on the hot seat right now. Vince McMahon is not happy with Raw at all. You would think, oh, well, the big TV deal is Fox, so they're putting all the attention on Fox. No, that's not the way it goes. Vince McMahon is very upset with the way Raw is being presented right now. You saw some changes with the announced team. You see some changes with some people. You see some people getting elevated that didn't get elevated before. Paul Heyman is on the hot seat right now. He has to really turn this up. That's why you see even Liv Morgan and Lana, there really was no explanation as far as, you know, what was this attraction? They had two matches, and now she moves on to Ruby Riott. So they're trying to move away from things as quickly as possible. One investor asked Vince in a conference call if they should spend more money on talent. And Vince talked about the storylines, and this is what I was saying before. He said that there was a time when they had a lot of injured talent, but that's not the case right now. Now it takes a little while to put those people in place. And he thinks, this is probably something you're going to want to know too, he thinks that they have exactly what they need and what they want for WrestleMania. There you go. You know, we'll see what happens with that. Now, you know, I want to mention this also. And look, tonight's show is only going to be about 45 minutes to an hour. I actually have to do something at 11:15 for my significant other. I don't want to talk about it here. But, you know, we're going to be, actually, this does have to do with the show. We are doing something for Valentine's Day. So next Friday, I definitely will not be online after SmackDown. I'll probably be on Saturday evening or early evening, late afternoon, but next Friday I will not be here. So I actually have to call someone later and, you know, confirm something because I'm going to be going away for, you know, the night just to have a little private time, if you know what I mean. Hopefully I get a little, you know. So XFL debuts this weekend, and a lot of people out there in the financial call, they're asking Vince about the XFL, and Vince keeps telling them, this is totally separate. This has nothing to do with WWE. It's totally separate. Just like this YouTube channel. I have people over here, oh, love the DTK shit. No, this is totally separate. This channel is for me. This channel features content that I'm on, whether it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, Mish. Soon we'll do some stuff with Joe Numbers and Andre Corbeil and others. You know, Vince's XFL is totally separate. He has a company that he formed a couple of years ago called Alpha Entertainment. It is not a publicly traded company. Vince don't have to answer to nobody about the numbers, except for obviously people that, you know, are involved with XFL. But when it's a private company, there's a lot of things he don't need to tell you. And he not saying nothing. But a lot of you out there want my thoughts of what's going to happen with the XFL. It debuts this weekend. Now, for those out there that may not know much about the 2020 version of XFL, I'll give you a couple of tidbits, some quick overview. I don't want to there are podcasts out there strictly for XFL, and some of them are pretty impressive. So if I start trying to give everybody a great education lesson on XFL and this and that, I'll come off like an ignorant goof, because that's not my field. That's not my expertise. To be quite honest with you, I am not interested in watching the XFL. You know, what did he say? Welcome to XFL. I'm not interested. A lot of you out there are asking me, do I think it's going to succeed? Well, you got to understand something, all right? And yes, I did some research. I pulled some notes that might make things a little bit easier for everybody. But a lot of you may not even know that last year we had the Alliance of American Football, the AAF. The AAF. 2 months it was gone. They had someone by the name of Tom Dundon. He invested $250 million in the AAF. Failed. That was just a year ago. Then you look at the Arena Football League, which is no longer around. You know, Vince McMahon wants to fill the void of fans who want football during the spring months, but don't have it right now because of whatever. Blah, 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 blah. So he brings back the XFL. And it's 8 teams, like before. You have the New York Guardians that will have their games in MetLife Stadium. The St. Louis Battlehawks, they will have their games at the Dome in America Center. Tampa Bay Vipers at the Raymond James Stadium. And the D.C. Defenders, which have their games in Audi Field. In the Western Division, the Dallas Renegades have their games at Globe Life Park. Houston Roughnecks at TDECU Stadium. Los Angeles Wildcats at Dignity Health Sports Park. Seattle Dragons at CenturyLink Field. Some of those stadiums are huge. You like to post those fit pictures of empty seats at AEW, empty seats at Raw, empty seats at SmackDown? Something tells me you're going to have new material in the near future. I'm not crapping on the XFL. I don't wish its demise. I used to be a huge football fan. I have fallen out of love with football for the last couple of years, and I've given you my reasons before. College football is very popular. It always was. I think it always will. But this is not college football. And the problem that I have just as a casual fan is we just had the Super Bowl. And you know pretty much the rules of the NFL. Now, you got 8 teams, they're playing 10-game schedule. After 10 games, the two top teams in the one league will face each other. The two top teams in the Western Division face each other, and then they have their Super Bowl. Playoffs are only going to be 2 weeks. That's it. All right, which is fine. But they decided to do changes, some rule changes. Now, I looked at multiple websites to try to find the most clearest way I could describe some of these rule changes. Number one, if you remember originally, the two players would have to run to grab the football, and whoever did got possession to open the game. They're not doing that anymore. You know, in fact, I even think the first game in the XFL, didn't somebody get injured like running after the football? So they're not doing that anymore. But they're going to change the way kickoffs are handled. Now, if you're a football fan, and we're only going to spend about 5 minutes on this, and we're going to move on. If you're a football fan, just close your eyes for a second and just picture this. The kicker is going to kick the ball from his own 25-yard line. But the other 10 teammates on the field will be lined up 40 yards away at the opposing team's 35-yard line. The returning team, their players will only be at the 30-yard line. And I'm just like picturing that in my eyes, that the other players can't move until the kicker kicks the ball. And the idea they want to do this because they don't want touchbacks and they don't want this. They want it to be exciting. I think also that the time clock goes no matter what, unless there's an injury or a timeout or I guess a score. This is, to me, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I've used this phrase before. Less is more. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. I know AEW wanted to do revolutionary things, but at the end of the day, if the wheel is fine, just make the wheel better. Don't try to make the wheel square. Here's another thing that I just think is absolutely stupid, in my opinion. It might end up being the coolest thing, and I will be the first to admit that I'm wrong. But, you know, when you score a touchdown, you get 6 points. Then you could either go for a two-point conversion, either by running the ball in the end zone or passing it, or you could just kick the extra point, okay? Simple. That's what the NFL is. What they're going to do now is, after a touchdown, teams cannot kick an extra point. They either could start at the 2-yard line and try to score, and they get the extra point. They could score by running or passing, but they start at the 2-yard line and get 1 point. Or they could start from the 5-yard line, and if they score there, they get 2 points. If they start their play from the 10-yard line, they get 3 points. Now, I understand in the NBA, that kind of feels like a 3-point play. All right, you know, I'm going to go behind the line, shoot, and get the 3 points. I mean, the idea that you get 6 points and, oh, I could start at the 10-yard line and get 3. I could start at the 5-yard line and get 2. I could start at the 2-yard line and I could get 1. How's about starting from the 50-yard line and get 6? I mean, it's just stupid. Stupid. I looked on a few other places and a team could score 9 points on a touchdown. It's like video game. If you follow me on Wednesdays, you know, I almost feel like we got Audrey Edwards and that bald guy should be the referees. And I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I think fans who want to enjoy football will definitely check it out in the beginning. The newness always draws better ratings. You know, I people know I'm a defender of AEW. I also criticize them a lot. You know, I'm not like one of these goofs on social media that will just rip them and rip them and rip them just so they can get 100 or 200 likes. That's goof. And if you ever want to confront a goof on social media, you know, don't bring up certain things to like insult the person. Just use logic. And trust me, I'm waiting for a podcaster. In fact, I'm drooling. I'm drooling. I'm seriously drooling. And I brought this up before. You remember that Wrestling with Shadows with Bret Hart? And I don't know if it was Smith Hart, but he was talking about Stu and how Stu, he would drool. He's gotten fresh meat. Like he couldn't wait to stretch them out. I'm begging a podcaster to try to mess with me or with debate on this. Hopefully the topic never comes up on Monday. Because me, I'm not going to sugarcoat things just to try to be politically correct. I'll tell it like it is. I see all these goofs on social media trying to make all these catchy insults about AEW, one-liners, making fun of this, making fun. Do they deserve criticism? Absolutely. But if you don't like it, I don't need to read every single week, oh, this is terrible. I'm going to go watch paint dry, or I'm going to go mop my floor. I'm going to go watch NXT. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to play my Rubik's Cube. Play with your balls. Every single week. This is where I catch people. And if any of you out there get into this fight, even just fans, it's not just podcast, just fans. If you get into arguments with other fans that are just writing these one-liners, whether they're making fun of AEW or making fun of Raw or making fun of SmackDown, this is what you do. You got to do it audio, because that's when you they stutter. They'll just stutter. All you got to say to them is, you know, did you see MLW? No, I didn't see it. Well, what did you think of their show? Well, I don't watch it. Well, when was the last time you tweeted about MLW? No, I don't remember the last time I tweeted about him. Okay. About Ring of Honor. You know, I don't watch that either. I don't talk about Ring of Honor. Okay, no problem. What about Impact Wrestling? Ah, Impact. Are you kidding me? The way that show is right now, I don't watch that. Why would I tweet about watching it? So if you don't tweet about MLW, and you don't tweet about Ring of Honor, and you don't tweet about Impact Wrestling, and you don't tweet about Shimmer, and you don't tweet about Stardom, and you don't tweet about New Japan Pro Wrestling, and if you don't tweet about GCW, since you don't watch any of that, why are you tweeting about AEW? Why? Because of this. They want to be jerked off. That's what it is. And I wasn't planning that. I swear on my mother, I had no plans on doing that. My friend used to call me a jerk off in high school, and he would do that. He would put water in his. That's what they do. If you don't watch any of these other feds and you don't tweet about them, why do you do that about AEW especially? Why? Give me one reason. Why? That's what they do. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to hold back simply because a couple of my podcasting friends or patrons or someone else does the same thing. I'm talking as a whole. I'm not talking about any one individual person. I just don't get that. If you just look at it in the overall scope, I mean, MLW just done a deal with AAA and Dragon Gate. You have New Japan coming to the United States, trying to get momentum in the United States. You have Ring of Honor that's trying to get a little bit renewed life. You have Impact Wrestling that's trying to do this. You got this part, this and this and this and this and this. But I want an alternative. Well, there's six. I don't watch any of them. Well, why don't you tweet about them? Because I don't follow them. Not interested. Well, then why do you tweet about AEW? Anyway, I'm not excited about the XFL. I wish Vince McMahon all success because he has spoiled me as a wrestling fan for decades and decades and decades. So I wish him nothing but success. I feel this goes into the same trend of the XFL. It'll be decent ratings from the get-go. The idea of using MetLife Stadium or Giant Stadium, whatever it is, you get even 20,000 people in there, it's going to look empty. After a couple of weeks, they ain't know he hate me on the jerseys. It's regular names. They ain't know looking at the cheerleaders and having people, you know, Matt Vasgersian, whatever his name is, he ain't doing it this year. I think Steve Levy is going to be the face of the XFL. I agree with you, Lee. You know, I don't understand why Kaepernick is not in the XFL. I don't understand that. I mean, give the guy an opportunity. I mean, there are players that are not playing right now that I'm just absolutely baffled why you wouldn't play in the XFL. And if you really kick ass, you have a better shot of getting in the NFL for 2021. I don't understand that. That surprised me. And look, people know my views on Kaepernick, and you know, I totally respect people who disagree with me, but that's a guy I don't understand why he's not in the XFL. I don't get it. But unless you have some form of entertainment attached to this XFL, you got to understand something. College football has support because of the colleges that they're associated with and the teams that represent their state. And they have this for decades and decades. You know, I mean, you all know, you know, if I told you Jim Ross right now, you would all know Boomer Sooners, you know? I mean, but when it comes, You don't have that connection. Dragons, Vipers, Battlehawks. There is no connection there. So unless somebody goes to cut somebody's head off or break their kneecaps or do a clothesline or, you know, it's not going to draw. And Vince said that he was pledging $500 million towards this. Okay, pledge. Not pledge as in Jerry Lewis, I pledge $1 million. Pledge means he's willing to spend that. When this thing starts pissing away crazy amounts of money in a very short period of time, you see if he invests 500. But you promised, Vince. You promised. Watch. He sees a vision, and I commend him for trying this. But even in the world of digital media, there's going to be a lot of fans that are, and I know what you all are thinking, well, it's springtime. It's not 15 degrees out. Hell, I wasn't going to go to Giant Stadium in 15-degree weather, but 55-degree weather, I'll go to a game. You watch those ticket prices go down. Hey, if you get a car wash, you could go see the XFL. You watch. I personally will be shocked if this survives 2 years. I think there's going to be major changes to this almost immediately. This arcade-style rules and this and that. I mean, NFL is making money. Look, a lot of the NFL's negativity the last couple of years had to do with kneeling and other outside issues. Obviously, some players with domestic violence and some other things going on. I don't think football was ever boring. And the idea like, whoa, we'll make three-point play and 5 points and 2 points and 1 points. And that, you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the AWA at the very end when they were doing that million-dollar thing, whatever they were doing, and this team has 11 points, and this gets 7, and if this person wins but doesn't do this, just keep it simple. Just give me some good. Could you picture, everybody, could you picture casual football fans that don't follow wrestling, that don't care about the XFL, but just want some good, hard-nosed football? And you got 40, 50, 60, 70-year-olds that are just sitting at home watching football. Oh, honey, there's football going on in spring. Yeah, put on Fox. And then the guy gets the touchdown. And meanwhile, it's the team is down by 2 points. Yeah, the team is down by 2 points after they scored the touchdown. Oh, they got to go for the two-point play. Then all of a sudden you see them walking back to the 10-yard line. Like, if they score, they'll be up by 5. I mean, could you just imagine? What is this? Oh, this gets, it's like a bad Abbott and Costello skit. You know, this, who gets 2? Who gets 5? Who gets 1? I don't like it. I hope it works. But for the casual football fan out there, as soon as somebody gets a touchdown, and there's only, here's a good scenario. You have a minute left to play, and a team is down by 3. 3, okay? And they get down to like the 5-yard line, and they score a touchdown, all right? So now they're up by 3. So you think, okay, we'll kick the extra point. Now you force the other team to go for a touchdown. But no. I could go down to the 5-yard line and kick 2 points. Now they can't even get a field goal when they try to run the ball. And when it goes to overtime, it's not the first team that scores and it's over. The other team still gets a shot. There's a bottom of the ninth. So it kind of feels like a little bit of basketball was thrown in on it. So, you know, look, yeah, I could score a 2-point basket, but hey, if I go further back, I could score 3. Naked Gun. But, and then you have a little bit of baseball involved. Oh, we're in overtime. He scored. Game up. No, it's the bottom of the fourth or the fifth. I guess it would be the fifth quarter. Oh, let's see what happens, everybody. This weekend, if you want to go check it out, Saturday, you'll have the Seattle Dragons versus the DC Defenders at 2 p.m. on ABC TV. You'll also have the Los Angeles Wildcats at the Houston Roughnecks at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard on Fox. Sunday, February 9th, you'll have the Tampa Bay Vipers at the New York Guardians at 2 p.m. Eastern on Fox. And you have the St. Louis Battlehawks taking on the Dallas Renegades at 5 p.m. On ESPN. So let's see how it goes, everybody. I wish nothing but the best. If it succeeds, it might win me over as a football fan because I really don't follow the NFL. So the XFL may be my form of football that I enjoy going forward. But I don't think Vince McMahon is trying to get that. You hear this in wrestling a lot. You're not trying to get that disgruntled NFL fan that no longer watches the NFL. They're trying to get the fans that still want football to continue. The problem is when it continues and then all these rules are different, people can be like, I'm change the channel. I'm telling you. I can't wait for those pictures of empty seats and it's in a, I don't hope it, but I see it happening. Get a look at this that happened. I don't know if you all saw this, but obviously the guy on the right would not look familiar, but the guy on the left, believe it or not, that is Adam Baum, arrested. Now, you got to read the whole story to really understand all the details. Adam Baum, real name Emmett Brian Clark. Get a load of this, man. Look at him. I mean, you know, God bless him, you know, when he was in the WWF and WCW, but he's only 55 years old. I mean, I don't know. He looks gangster a little bit, but he doesn't because look at the way that tie is like. It's so messy and everything. He just looks disheveled. I mean, he's just, I don't know. He looks like, I hate to say it, he looks like a lowlife. But he got arrested. He is charged with conspiracy, illegal control of enterprise, transporting or selling narcotics, drug possession, and possessing a weapon during a drug offense. And they also point out that these incidents happened in January and April 2019. I honestly have no idea why it took the feds this long to arrest him. And the other guy, his name is Dennis Mikolas, 73 years old. He used to be part of a 60s band called the Buckinghams. He's facing charges of conspiracy, illegal control of an enterprise, and transporting or selling narcotics. His incident was from January 19. So apparently this musician did something in January 19, and then he joined up with Adam Baum, and they tag-teamed in April and committed some offenses. Adam Baum's attorneys have said that, well, the firearm is really just an heirloom that was in the house, and it was not used, and this and that. Yeah, I know. Mish has definitely got to be disappointed. Anybody that follows Patreon, you know why. But he's got some serious charges right now. You know, it doesn't. Somebody asked me earlier if it reminded me of what happened with Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy, I do not believe to this day, was ever trying to distribute or sell drugs to others. I think Jeff Hardy was doing what I used to do, what a lot of people used to do, and that is hoard. Hoard. I have some of my pain medication that I hoard to this day. But I only hoard maybe like 10 or 20 pills because I always think, okay, what if my doctor is on vacation or my doctor retires and it takes me a couple of weeks to find a new physician? I keep 2-3 extra weeks worth of medication just to, I don't like having that last day and I need my refill. I have none left. Oh my God. So people hoard. The problem is when you hoard too many, they will charge you with distribution. And I think that's what happened with Jeff Hardy at that time. Jeff Hardy was prescribed legally pain medication. And what happens is that, look, it's changed dramatically in the last 20 years. But 20 years ago, when I had my car accident in 1996, I remember back then when my doctor, he's long dead now, but when my doctor first gave me Vicodin in 1996 for my car accident, he prescribed me, I think like 270 in 1 month. It was like take two, four times a day or something like that. I don't remember. I think it was 240 pills. My God, if I got 240 Vicodins right now, I think I would have a heart attack. I feel like I just scratched off a ticket and won $1,000. You know, it's dramatically changed with opioids, and you see the epidemic going around. But back then, people were prescribing crazy amounts. Now, as you know, I had my spinal surgery. I had other things. You know, I have the spinal stimulator inside me right now. In fact, some of you asked me to, now because I do video, to show you the scars and the remote and how everything works. We'll do that down the line. But with the spinal injury, you know, with all these other things that I had done, it cut down on my use of painkillers. Ever since what happened with Conan, that scared me straight to be very, very careful with pain medication. So I only take one a day, sometimes two. But, and that's all I get prescribed now. But many years ago, if I only took two a day and I was prescribed three a day, at the end of the month, I had 30 extra pills. I would hoard that in case of an emergency or in case my doctor's not around. I know I have a couple of weeks of medication that I don't have to worry. You know, my body's addicted to it, but I only take one a day, sometimes two. I don't fiend for it or anything like that. I have horrible pain still to this day. It's going to affect me till the day I die. So that's why I'm with Jeff Hardy. In this case, I don't think it's a case of him hoarding or anything like that. There definitely was some type of a deal that went down. But I just find it really odd that it took them this long. Now, I don't have his mugshot, and the reason why I didn't even bother researching it is because a lot of wrestling websites were very cute with the arrest of Bret DiBiase. All right. You know, the story is that some crimes went down in Mississippi. Millions of dollars were embezzled out of like a fund from the Department of Human Resources. And there was a drive that was going on. I'm trying to look. I have the name over here or somewhere. Oh, it was the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program. Raised millions of dollars, and millions of dollars were embezzled from them. And Bret DiBiase was one of several people that got arrested. So right away, you had all these websites that were trying to tweet bang, saying that, oh, Bret DiBiase arrested, millions of dollars, you know, conspiracy, embezzling. I'm not trying to diminish what he did, but as far as I see and from looking at the charges on his actual arrest report, the only thing that they have found so far that's been revealed is that he went to some luxurious drug rehab facility. I don't know why he didn't just go to WWE-sponsored rehab, but maybe because, hey, you know, his father's the million-dollar man, he's got to be the million-dollar rehab patient. He goes to this famous, real expensive Malibu drug rehabilitation center in California. It cost almost $50,000 for him to go. Yo, bro, I don't have the cash. So John Davis, who used to work for the Department of Human Services for our government, he's the one that's probably, from what I see, maybe the mastermind of this whole deal. John Davis was the director. He was one of the six people that were charging this as well. So basically what they did was they put down that Bret DiBiase was going to do speeches about drugs and abuse and this and that. And he was supposed to, you know, go to, I guess, schools and other places. And in return, they paid him $48,000, or they paid for whatever. Problem is, Bret DiBiase never did any of these seminars or, you know, speeches or anything like that. They put on paper that he did these speeches, and they paid for him to go to drug rehab. So you look at it, and it's like, well, you know, the money went to a good cause. I mean, they helped him. They probably saved his life. It's still fraud. It's still embezzling money. So Bret DiBiase's involvement in this is very, very small, and I wouldn't be surprised if he claims that he just didn't get around to doing those speeches or whatever it is. But you know, people are trying to paint it that this guy embezzled millions, and I don't think his involvement was anything of that sort. Still was involved in a little bit of fraud, but not the level that people are trying to portray it. So, couple other things. I figured you'd probably get a kick out of this. You know, I mentioned about 2 weeks ago that I bought a Thunder Rosa shirt, the first women's wrestling shirt that I ever bought in my entire life. Kabuki Warriors I bought as well, but I bought the Thunder Rosa shirt first. I got it today, and I showed everybody online that I think the only thing cooler about the Thunder Rosa shirt arriving today was the packaging that it arrived in. This was the packaging that I got in the mail today. I could only imagine my neighbor upstairs from my place that's into, like, goth stuff. She probably thought it was for her. But I thought that was really, really cool. And I'll be wearing the shirt in the near future. And by the way, we're almost done. I know the net has their balls in a bunch right now because of this. Let me see if I could show you. Yeah, that's better. That's better. I still got to get used to putting images up that are different shapes and sizes. People all ape shit on the net because WWE did the Mustafa Ali to Buddy Murphy. They removed Buddy, and they're just calling him Murphy. Now, I'll be honest with you. I won't lose sleep over this. I actually never had a problem with the name Buddy Murphy. You know, it's not, you know, anybody that thinks the name Buddy sounds goofy or, hey, Buddy, Buddy, that sounds like a dog's name. Buddy, Buddy, don't pee over there, Buddy. I slapped up. I had no problem with Buddy Murphy. Personally, I wouldn't have touched his name. If they want to just call him Murphy, leave his name as Buddy Murphy and just let the announcers call him Murphy. I mean, I remember back in the day when Steve Austin started really, you know, reaching his peak, and they would just say, Austin, Vince, Austin, you know, Tyson and Austin, Tyson. They never removed Steve from his bio. You didn't go on WWF.com and see Austin, his shirts, Austin 316. His name was still Steve. So personally, I would have left Buddy Murphy's name alone. But if they want to just use the last name and say Murphy and Rollins, Rollins and Murphy, Murphy and Rollins, Murphy and Rollins, you could do that. You could just call him Murphy. I don't have any issue with that. But the idea of just removing a name, I look at it and I'm like, Murphy, what? Oh, could you just weighing 228 pounds because he can't be under 205. Murphy, Murphy, Murphy. It was like Ali. There was no reason to take Mustafa off of his name. Now they put it on because it sounds more, you know, of his heritage, and, you know, we have to celebrate that, and I'm cool with it. I never wanted him to remove Mustafa's first name, but when they started calling him just Ali, it sounded like two names, and it sounded like a Japanese name. You would hear, Ali, Ali. It sounded like two names anyway. Stupid. So, yeah, right? What are they going to do next? They're going to remove McIntyre. He's just going to be Drew. Drew, 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 Drew. Leave the name. Just don't say it. Again, I remember Austin. Everything. Austin. 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 Hey, Austin. And take Steve off the website. I don't know. Anyway, a few of you out there never knew the story about my TNA poop. And since we talked about Shotzi Blackheart with poop, some of you wanted me to pull the original photo of when I took the TNA poop, and I have it, and I'm going to give everybody a little warning. If you don't want to see excrement, if you don't want to see shit, if you don't want to see doo-doo, then you can skip the next minute of this show. Few of you wanted to see it. Here's the backdrop of this story, all right, before I post the photo. I used to criticize TNA a lot. You know, I started warming up on it, you know, when EC3 started, you know, getting elevated, and obviously the Broken Universe and everything like that. But at that time, I used to always talk about how shitty TNA was and how their storylines were always twisted like a pretzel. And, you know, I always think of that Honeymooners episode. Oh, he wants to twist me like a pretzel. And I used to always talk about how TNA was shitty and how their storylines were all twisted. And it's like the wrestling gods came down on me one day in my office when I was taking a shit. This is a true story. I got the proof. I'm going to show it to you. Everybody thinks, see, that's the thing about doing audio. I could tell you stories until I'm blue in the face. I could tweet things till I'm blue in the face. You have no way of proving any of it. I could be Forrest Gump and just creating a profile of me, and you have no proof of anything. Now, because I do video, now I get to prove everything. And I keep everything. I got proof of everything. That's why nobody ever challenges me on anything. So, here's the deal. Short story of it. I'm taking a dump. One day in my office about 5 or 6 years ago, I think it was like 6 years ago, and I get up, and I'm about to wipe my ass. And I thank God I looked down before putting the toilet paper in the toilet, because the last thing I would have wanted to do is pull the toilet paper out. Plus, I think the minute that toilet paper would have hit the doo-doo, it would have broken it up into a million pieces. So I'm wiping my ass, and I look down, and I see no crap. When I say no crap, I mean like, you know when you take a dump and you just see pieces everywhere? I don't see like loose of anything. I look down and it looks like a pretzel. And I'm like, look at this shit. First thing that came to my mind is I keep talking about how TNA is shit and how their storylines are twisted like a pretzel. And voila, I take a dump that looks like a pretzel. I said, I got to take a picture of this. Then I started thinking about it. I'm like, wait a minute. If I take a picture of it, I'm going to have people that are going to say to me, oh, you just pulled that from Google Images. Anybody. That could be anybody's dump out there. So I had nobody in the office. I figured I'd spend 15 minutes. I took a piece of paper. I started drawing things on there to show everybody that it was my doo-doo. What ended up happening was this. That is the toilet, and I purposely put the paper inside the toilet so they could see that it was actually inside a toilet bowl. You see the water above the piece of paper, and I put, see, current TNA product, and I even put Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show. So, yeah, I did the Shotzi Blackheart before Shotzi Blackheart did the Shotzi Blackheart. That is a true story. That is my dump, untouched, and I put that online. That is a true story. I apologize for anybody out there that is tremendously offended right now, and I took that dump on June 12th of 2014. So maybe somebody can mark it down on their calendar, and maybe June 12th. Let's see when June 12th. What day does that land on this year? June 12th lands on a Friday. Oh, so maybe we could do the SmackDown shit. You know, the SmackDown shit. I like that. So there you go. That is a true story. I took my dump, and yeah, I had to put paper inside the bowl so you would know it's mine. So there you go for the people who want to see it. I also got a couple other requests just for a good laugh, and we'll leave it at this, and I'm going to call it. Because I actually have to attend to a few things. But some of you out there have been on my Facebook page before. I will admit, my Facebook page is pretty much dead. We just put our shows up there. For people that are on social media, Facebook, that just want to be alerted of our shows, that's what it's there. Everybody that talks wrestling goes on Solid Monsters page. That's the way it's been. It's cool. I'm fine with that. Our Facebook is just to put up the shows. Fine. Well, couple of things has happened to me over the last couple of years. A few of you are begging to even pay me to show the footage of the 80-year-old guy punching me in the face. I have the footage somewhere because I saved it for the cops in case I decide to press charges. Or if he tried to have somebody break my legs years later. I still got the footage, so maybe I'll put it online soon. But a couple of other things happened to yours truly as well that some of you may not be aware of. And I have two little video clips that I think you would get a kick out of. The first one, and I'm sure a lot of you know this already, about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, I had surgery on my arm. A torn labrum, torn shoulder, torn bicep. And this was due to a fall that I had in my office. Now, before I played a video, short setup of this, I had installed, this is how crazy it is, and again, I got proof. I installed security cameras in my office. I was afraid, you know, in case I ever got robbed, I wanted security cameras. So I installed two cameras by myself, and I put one camera in the front of the office and one in the back of the office. This way I figured if I ever get robbed and they try to bring me in the back of the office, there's a camera there too. So now I'm trying to conceal the wires in the ceiling in the back of the office, because if somebody ever came in, I don't want anybody to try to just yank wires down and unplug everything. So I was going to put it inside the ceiling on top. So I climb this wooden ladder, and half my body is inside the ceiling, and I'm working on the wires and everything. Now, I used to teach defensive driver classes, and I had a TV from my office from the 90s that's one of these big tube TVs, not a flat screen, a big tube TV, and I used to have it up near the ceiling. Because this way, when I used to teach the class and all the students are there, they look straight ahead towards the ceiling and they got this tube TV. So as I'm doing the wiring, I lose my balance. And when I lose my balance, I think, okay, I'll just grab onto the TV. The TV is bolted to the wall. Well, not only did I realize that the TV was not bolted to the wall, but if you think of Mick Foley falling off a ladder and going through through a table, not only did that happen, but the TV comes tumbling down as well, and it missed crushing my head by about 2 feet. I'm not going to be like, oh, 2 centimeters. No, about 2 feet, because it was one of these giant tube TVs. And go figure, my security cameras are not running an hour. And sure enough, as I'm putting in this camera, this happens. Unbelievable. Look in the top right-hand corner. Just watch closely. Unbelievable. It was so loud that the people next door in their real estate office came in. I kid you not. I just watch the top right-hand corner of the video again, and you'll hear me. And the funniest thing is, when I put this video online originally, you know what the number one thing people were asking me? Hey, what's that dance song playing in the background? Figured you'd get a good laugh. You'll see, I couldn't even put my arm on the floor. This is the arm I end up getting. Sorry, I waited a year and a half to get surgery, by the way. It's a little dark. It was so loud. Look, watch what happens. Hey, look. Three, two, one.
Anthony, Anthony, yeah. Are you okay?
Yeah.
No. Four?
So that's what happened. I fell off a ladder from inside my ceiling. TV came tumbling down with me as well, along with a pitcher. And I tore my labrum. I tore my rotator cuff and I tore my bicep. That was one. This one, I think you will enjoy. Yeah, that was Boogie Nights by Heatwave. Every time I hear that song now on Sirius XM 70s, I think of that day. This one you will enjoy, and we will call it a night right after this. This happened, I don't have the date in front of me. It's on the thing, but this was very recent. I have a paper shredder, and I was shredding a couple of papers. I had a customer at my desk, and I had someone else waiting, the guy that cleans my windows. So he's waiting for me to give him money, and I'm playing around with a paper shredder. And I'm sitting at my desk with this paper shredder, and, you know, there's some stuck in it. So me, I'm trying to loosen up the paper, and I have a bottle of canned air. I don't have any handy, but you know what it is. When you have like a dusty keyboard, you spray it, and it sprays air. So me, like a genius, I have a paper shredder with some paper stuck in it. I think, okay, I'll take my envelope opener and I'll pry the paper out and then I'll spray it with a little bit of canned air, thinking that, you know, it'll loosen up the paper. Great idea. Problem is, you got to unplug it first. You'll love this. And it's, and you listen closely, you'll hear the poof. Watch. I left it plugged in. There it goes. Fire! 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 And I started coughing up a lung. I breathe in all of that gas. Yeah, the pain and the chemicals that I inhaled started to kick in. I couldn't even breathe for a few seconds. True story. No bullshit. So, yeah, for the people out there, I'll share it with you one more time. Whenever you loosen paper from a paper shredder or you use canned air inside your computer, please make sure it is unplugged. I'm such a fool, man. You'll actually hear the fire. Listen. Watch. You hear the spray. And watch. Poof. Dick. Unbelievable, man. All because of freaking security cameras. Yeah, that was a guy who was cleaning my windows. But yeah, so for those out there that wanted to see yours truly get hurt, falling off a ladder, tearing my arm up in a couple of places, and having a fireball thrown in my face, along with toxic gas, there you go. So unbelievable, right? So I have other things that I'll share with you in time, but I figured, you know, it's the weekend. We don't have tons of stuff to get into. I know my AEW NXT ratings were off a little bit, but I didn't do all that bad. What my original prediction, and, you know, I played a little clip on Wednesday. I said AEW, my prediction was 785,000 viewers, but I also said that I'm probably undercutting that number quite a bit because Cody's main event, that segment was very solid. Well, I said 785, even though I admitted it was probably very low. It ended up scoring 928, which is very impressive. On the NXT side, my prediction was 767,000 and it ended up being 770. So I missed the NXT rating by about 3,000. I should have kept my original thinking of AEW saying that Cody segment definitely drew people in. But yeah, so one of them, I almost got it. Almost got it. Came close. So I think that's it. We'll get out of here. Now, look, I did see the rumors of Impact Wrestling, possibly, there's that word again, possibly, probably, maybe. Oh, you know, the one reason why Edge got cured, possibly, is just either it is or it isn't. But I see the reports that Impact Wrestling is thinking about bringing in Mike Tenay, Dixie Carter, and Vince Russo for their nostalgia show, WrestleMania weekend. I know a lot of places are saying there's no way Tenay's going to go. But first of all, Dixie Carter absolutely should not only be there, but Impact Wrestling should have her picked up in a limousine, give her the really good treatment, because she was very, very... she, without her, Anthem would have not had a wrestling promotion. Sure, it ended up being nowhere near as good as it used to be, but it's like having a WWF reunion and you don't bring in Vince. I know Dixie's not on that level, but Dixie Carter absolutely should be there, without a doubt. Vince Russo, it's really, you know, either way. You know, I'm fine with either. The only thing I don't like is there's no reason to drag this out and to talk about it week after week after week. It's one freaking show. I mean, either bring them or you don't bring them. You know, personally, I think they should have gotten the decisions with those three done and then put it up. There's no need for a rumor of something like this. It's one goddamn event. There's 80,000 other promotions doing events WrestleMania weekend in Florida. You know, if Dixie's going to go, just announce it and that's it. And again, I think Dixie Carter absolutely should be there. They should pay tribute to her. I don't think she's in the Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame. I'll go one step further. Put Dixie Carter in the Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame WrestleMania weekend. That's the right thing to do, Impact Wrestling. Pay a little bit of money. Pay tribute to the woman, you know? And I gave her so much criticism in the past, but there's no denying that she deserves to be there. She deserves to have a tribute to her, and she deserves to be into that Hall of Fame. Put Dixie Carter in the Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame. Nobody online will balk at that. Anyway, I'm done. Everybody have a great weekend. For my Patreon family out there, I know that Mish just arrived back into Philadelphia today. He didn't leave Chicago until 2 days ago, and he drove through some pretty big snowstorms. He also brought a ton of his belongings with him. I don't know if his computer will be set up this weekend to do breakfast soup, but I know we owe you an episode. Last week I did blah, blah, blah in place of it, but Mish and I are going to be doing an episode of breakfast soup. We're gunning to do it this weekend. We were going to do it Saturday, but that's really cutting it close. So we're looking at either Sunday or possibly maybe a Monday afternoon or a Tuesday afternoon just for this week. You know, just to do a welcome back show, let him talk about Poppy a little bit. Thank you, Matthew Rychecki. Thank you, my friend. I know you gave me that last time, and I really do appreciate that. Believe me, it's so much expenses involved with this. In fact, for you techies out there, you'll know what I'm talking about. Yesterday, I installed a Samsung 970 Pro NVMe drive, 2 terabyte. And, you know, it's one of those drives that looks like a stick of gum. And that's only because the read and the write speed is so crazy fast. I figured, you know, if we're going to really try to pump out good quality video, good quality audio here, and bring in other people in the future, I want everything to handle with no issues whatsoever. I put that in yesterday. The problem is I got a Dell computer. And Dell, when I got it, has everything set up in RAID, R-A-I-D. I know what you all know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I have to change that from RAID to what, A-H-C-I, some format. Because right now, all of the features of the drive, you know, it doesn't pick it up. I can't even put in the latest driver for this hard drive because it's in RAID format. And the problem is, here's the worst part about it, is I have my computer screen hooked up right now to my computer with an HDMI cable, same cable you use on your TVs. And when I try to boot into safe mode, or if a lot of you hit that F2 button, you know, to get into that BIOS system, the screen goes blank and my monitor will not go on. There's no signal. And I spent hours and hours and hours last night trying to figure out why am I losing a signal. I have nothing disabled. So I find out that there is a connection called the DVI connection. Never used that before. Some podcasters right now are probably going to be like, what are you, stupid? Don Tony, you never use a DVI connection? Apparently, I have to connect my computer to this monitor with a DVI cable. And that prevents the computer from losing the signal. Once I do that, which won't be till Monday, then I can go into my BIOS and change the setup, and then the hard drive will kick ass. So I was very nervous about doing the show tonight because it's using a driver from like 2006. I know for a lot of you out there that aren't into tech, this sounds like French, but anybody that does do a lot of work, like I said, you know, I've said it many times before, God bless everybody out there that thinks you talk, you put the mic down, you go to bed, hey, I'm a podcaster. For some people, yes. But for a lot of us that, you know, handle everything behind the scenes, this is something that we have to deal with. But Monday, I will be able to adjust the settings on it. And if I have any problem for any reason, then I'm going to send that hard drive back and use the same crap that I was using before. So a lot of things are going on in the background. That's why, like I said, give me 2 months total of doing this so I get used to it. You know, those little things like the little echo at the beginning of the show today, that's not acceptable to me. And that's stupid things. I have a little piece of paper with a checklist. make sure everything on his checklist is there. And the first thing on there is make sure that the audio setting is not lit up on my webcam. So that's my mistake at the beginning. I am very sorry for that. And, you know, repetition is how I will avoid that in the future. But thank you, Roberto Lopez. I really appreciate that. You know, look, I know you all out there don't have a lot of free time in the world. Neither do I. So if you're going to spend some time of your busy schedule or personal life or whatever it is to watch things that I am doing here, the least I could do in return is not only give you my best. Well, if this is my best, it sucks, but give you my, you know, 110%. But not only that, be authentic and be straight out with everybody out there. You know, there's too many people out there that just can't poke fun at themselves. I laugh at myself. You know, I see little things here and there, especially on YouTube, people trying to crack jokes towards me, you know, trying to, like, you know, hurt my feelings. And I'm like, hey, welcome back. You know, I missed your insults. You got to be able to laugh, man. There are too many people on social media who claim they have thick skin. And then the first person that insults them, it's like 50 hours of butt hurt, you know, you got to be able to laugh. It's got to be like water off a duck's back. That goes for any podcaster. I know that there's several podcasters listening right now. You can't let it get to you, man. For me, for the haters out there, you know, whether I'm fat, whether I'm old, whether I'm this, whether I'm that, you know, for me, the ultimate revenge you give to the haters out there is success. And not only that, this, because I am really, I mean, that's one thing for the last 3 weeks doing this that so many of you said is like, you know, they never pictured me smiling like this. I don't fake smile. I am having a ball. I just love this. And I can't wait to see a year from now what this turns into. You know, it's just a lot of things on the horizon. I just don't want to announce things yet, because if they don't happen, I don't want it to be a letdown. So I'd rather, you know, there's too many people out there that will promise and promise and promise and promise and promise and promise and promise. And then, you know, you realize that some genuinely try to fulfill those promises but can't. Big shoes to fill. It's not easy. You know, and it's not just shows, it's just general. It's very hard to promise things that in advance. But then there are people out there that will just promise everything, not because they have any intention on doing it, but because they just, that, you know, that attention that they get in return, it's like a drug. You know, and that happens, you know, with addiction and with other things. I mean, my God, you remember the stories? It was so sad to see Axel Rotten. One of the nicest people I ever met in wrestling. Had the privilege of doing some podcasts with him and the Mass Maniac. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times he came on to the Mass Maniac show and was announcing to the world that he is now clean. And, you know, we would, you know, be happy for him and praise him. And after the third or fourth time, you realize that, you know, He's doing that either to put it out there. Now he's got to fulfill it. Once you put it out there, you got to back it up. And sometimes you felt like he's putting it out there just so he could get 500 responses. We're proud of you. We care about you. We're thinking of you. We love you. This and that. You know, it's addicting. So I'm telling you, especially Twitter, man, it is addicting. It is addicting. You see people out there, you know, some people try to bait me into these wars, and I keep saying the same thing. Having 200 likes on Twitter does nothing for me as far as getting engaged, losing weight, making money, having fun here. It does nothing for me. Getting a blue check mark still does nothing for me. What does it do? At the end of the night, if I have crazy bills to pay, have no significant other, you know, just an absolute tub of lard, or just not even caring with the way I look, and, you know, not just, and trust me, I had years of doing that. You know, there were years that I just would work, go home, work, go home, work, go home. And the next thing you know, you gain 10 pounds, 20 pounds, 40 pounds, because I would just lay in bed and do nothing, absolutely nothing. And, you know, I was content with that. Why? Because I would mingle with people on social media and I have this feeling like, oh, I have all these friends and everything. But at the end of the night, they're all posting all of the things that they're doing out in the real world. And here I am sitting at home looking at my bed, you know, and nothing, looking at my surroundings, and there's 10,000 pieces of clothes everywhere and there's dust and there's this. And, you know, it's very tempting. So I appreciate that 604. I could talk to a broom and make it a 6-star podcast. You know why, dude? Because I'm just telling you like friends, man. When I started doing this in 97, that was my original plan. I'm going to just talk to everybody like we're all hanging out, having a couple of drinks, talking about whatever, you know. And here's the cool thing about it. I know for the longtime listeners or supporters of mine out there, some of the stories that I say, you've probably heard 1,000 times and are absolutely sick of it. You probably heard it in 1998, in 2003, 2006, 2008, 10, 12, 16, 18, and 20. But the one thing is, when you don't lie, you could hear the story in 2001 and hear it in 2020, and it's the same story. When you don't lie, the story stays the same. And, you know, and there's a lot of people out there that try to play gotcha with me, you know, and it's, trust me, it's not fun. And especially to be caught in a gotcha simply because you want to feel popular on social media. Not my style, man. Not my style. So, you know, I may sound a little repetitive and I may sound a little boring right now, but believe me when I tell you, the way that I'm talking right now, other people help me with that. You know, I don't have an excellent life. There is a ton of horrible crap that goes on. Maybe not as bad as others out there. Things are obviously much better. But, you know, a year from now, I don't know if either one of my parents are going to still be here. A year from now, who knows what happens with my health. Look at it. A little over a year ago, I have reports that I put online that they said I had cancer. You know, I had part of my intestine taken out of my body. I had my gallbladder removed. I had to get surgery on my midsection. You know, if I lift my stomach right now, you'll see about 9 incisions. It's not fun. I posted the original picture when I had all the patches on. I looked like a smoker. There were so many white patches. It looked like I was trying to quit smoking. But again, man, life's too short. And to see people deteriorate on social media, it's depressing, man. It really is. And the worst part is when they know that they're deteriorating, but don't care. And, you know, I've seen that with my own eyes, and I've had moments where I felt like that as well. Or the best part is when they criticize others and they're doing the very same thing and sometimes don't even realize that. That's why I try to post mostly positive on my social media, especially Twitter. Yeah, I will take digs here and there, absolutely. But for the most part, I try to post positive stuff because I got to practice what I preach, you know? So anyway, everybody, I got to go. I was supposed to do something at 11:30. I got to book something, and I have until midnight to do it. So let me get out of here for tonight. Patreon, I will definitely update everybody by Saturday night to let you know, what the deal is. You're either going to do one Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So, you know, we got the whole month, but, you know, we definitely want to do one now. So I'll talk to Mish tomorrow and I'll let everybody know. And Monday's the DTKC show once again. Wednesday will be Wednesday Night Dynamite. And next Friday, remember, I will not be on Valentine's Day. I will be out, but probably Saturday I'll make up for it. So be well, everyone. Nothing but love. Is it like wrong to do it with your left hand? I'm curious out there. I know we all do this, like, you know, much love, everybody. But when you do it with your left hand, is that like wrong? I know some things, like if you have an earring in your left ear, I know the deal with that. But you know, I'll use both hands. So have a great night, everybody. Have a great weekend. Nothing but the best. And I'll catch you all again soon. Take care. Ciao, everybody.